At what point did you join The New Yorker?
In 1980, I guess. I was living on Cape Cod. I had finished writing Midnights, and I was writing short stories that I would send to The New Yorker, and they would send back. I guess the only possibilities that seemed open to me on the Cape were to be either a fisherman or a carpenter, or to give music lessons or something like that, and I just thought I wanted to try something else. I didn't really know enough to be a carpenter, and I didn't really know anybody on whose fishing boat I could work, so I decided that I would try to be in New York City, so I came here.
And how did you finance your stay in New York during these early days?
Who do I have to say? Mainly on unemployment money, I guess. Mm-hmm. I found an inexpensive place to live and on the Lower East Side, and the money I got about $110 a week, I guess, from unemployment, and that covered my rent and everything else. I felt like I was living in a pretty good style.
You had guts coming to the big city with a limited payroll living here. It's very expensive. But yeah. Did The New Yorker begin to accept some of your material?
Well,
I should say, at what point did The New Yorker begin to accept it?
They never did accept the stories. I think by sheer persistence, I eventually broke down their resistance to the short pieces that I was writing for the Talk of the Town, and some of those began to run. Over a period of years, I just began to do more of them, and then.
Well, at what point did they put you on staff?
After a while.
Meanwhile, you were contributing pieces to Talk of the Town.
Right.
And they liked those well enough after a period that they did finally put you on the staff.
I guess so. Nobody ever really tells you how it works.
Are you a staff writer now?
Right. I'm the staff now.
But you say you don't know because nobody...
Oh, I mean, nobody ever says we hired you because...
I see.
At one point, the next step was to go and ask if I could have a job, and then he said, well, you could have a job, and that's it. There's no real formality to it. It's a pretty informal arrangement, and there's no explanation. There's no... nobody explains how the phones work or where to get your pencils or things like that. You just somehow kind of... The door opens and you stand there and try to figure out what to do.
What's it like being a staff writer for The New Yorker?
Well,
whatever that means. What is a staff writer?
I guess what it's like, what it made possible and what I think it does, so far as I know, it's the only place that really makes possible the kind of work that is done there, which is to say, at least from the point of nonfiction, of providing you with the time and the expenses to look into something to whatever extent one wants to look into it, which goes from the kind of very short, regularly appearing kinds of pieces that Calvin Trillin reports to the much longer ones of, like, say, Mark Singer's recent piece on the Penn Square Bank, there are pieces that take some people short periods of time, pieces obviously that take them much longer, but... So far as I know, there isn't really... I wanted to work at The New Yorker because I couldn't imagine anywhere else I could work. During that year, I was fairly desperately trying to get any job I could get writing in New York City. I applied at the Daily News when they had their afternoon section. I forget what that was called. Daily News Today, maybe, was it?
Something like that.
I tried to get a job at Woman's Day. I tried to... which was actually fairly embarrassing that I couldn't because my father had been the art director there for 30 years. So I was trying everywhere to get a job, but I was really obsessed by the idea of trying to work at The New Yorker because that seemed to me the only place that was going to let me write the way I hoped that I would be able to write.
Well, do they give you an office and you report there, say, at 9 o'clock in the morning, or can you work out of your house? Or
well, they give one an office, but there's no requirement that you use it. It's there if you want it. I happen to work there on the premises, but lots of people don't. Probably more people don't than do.
Do they give you? Does William Shawn give you an assignment?
The writers, so far as I know, come up with their own ideas. I'm sure he suggested ideas to various writers when he has some idea and some writer in mind who might be the person to do it. So far as I know, everybody suggests his own idea.
How many staff writers does it have?
There's no way of telling. I think once somebody told me that there were 75 people, writers that were under, roughly, that were under contract to the magazine.
William Murray is a staff writer, he says, and mm-hmm. he lives in Los Angeles.
Right, there are lots
so
of...
So I've always wondered how this description of staff writer works at the New Yorker, because I have a feeling it's not really a staff writer in the sense that you actually go on, like we have staff writers at CBS. I mean,
right.
they come in and they work 9 to 5 and yeah. or later hours or odd hours and weekends, but they're actually on staff, as opposed to people who are per diem or freelancers.
Right. Well, so far as I understand what the term means at the New Yorker is simply that it's a person who has some kind of contractual agreement to provide work for the magazine. And so that's why there are so many people spread out all over the world.
For which you are paid a regular salary? Or are you paid by the piece?
I think there's all sorts of arrangements. Some people have drawing accounts. Some people perhaps have salaries. Some people are paid by the pieces. There are so many different generations of writers there, and I think different arrangements were tried at all points to try and come up with the most satisfactory one to assure the magazine of receiving work and also assure that it would be the best work that those writers were able to do.